appreciate the opportunity to share God's Word with you today and this wonderful platform to do it, and for all the work that Jim and Joan do to prepare this great room for us so we can hear God's Word. Take your Bibles, let's go to Proverbs. I've taught this a few times, so my fellowship's heard it more than once. But you know what? Proverbs is forever, and these words that were spoken, goodness, how many thousands of years ago, are still just as applicable today as they were the day they were spoken. What kind of words have that power? God's Word does. Let's start with verse 1 of chapter 1 in Proverbs. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding." Boy, when you have understanding, it makes life a lot easier, doesn't it? Some of you in grade school, when you don't understand something, it's kind of difficult, isn't it? But once you understand it, it's like, oh, geez, I can do this in my sleep. We need understanding so we can live life. "To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear." You know, some people, you can't tell them anything, can you? Because they already know everything. We want to hear. We're still hungry for these words. These words are life to us. We're ready to hear them because they mean something to us. We're wise people. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. Once you think you know everything there is, can you learn anymore? "And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." Verse 6, "To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings." And I stopped and looked at their dark sayings. Ooh, what's that about? Well, I had to look at some other translations, and one of them was the hidden meaning or the enigma, something that needs to be explained. Verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The beginning is to what? Know God and respect God and love God. We need to respect God. Why? Because He's our Father and He loves us. That's why we respect Him. Let's look at Proverbs, and in chapter 3, we're going to read verse 13 through 19, chapter 3. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom." How happy are we today? We should be the happiest people in the world. Because we're here because we want to know God. We want to know about His Word, about His love, about His care. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding." When you understand something, you can utilize it. You can work it. You know, when you understand how algebra works, which I never did, but you can just do it. When you don't understand it, it's Greek, isn't it? "For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold." Wow, that's some pretty good gain. "She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days are in her right hand, in her left hand, poverty." No, didn't say that. "In her left hand, riches and what? Honor." So, here it is, in perspective. We're to desire God's wisdom more than fine gold, but what is in that wisdom? When we put God first and seek His wisdom, we'll have riches and honor. "Her ways, wisdom, are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her." And happy, here it is again. We should just be happy people. Happy. Twice it's mentioned, it's established. "And happy is everyone that retaineth her." Not only do we need to get it, but we need to retain it. You know, I've heard some of these things many times, but sometimes I've never utilized them. See, wisdom, the proper application of knowledge, it's great to know it, but let's apply it properly. Let's utilize it in our lives. Not only know it, but let's put it into practice in our jobs and daily practice with everyone that we talk to. Verse 19. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. Well, how big is this big old earth? And how did it get founded? By God's wisdom. Everywhere we look, we should see the greatness of God's wisdom. He made this earth to replenish itself. He's made so many species, so many different kinds of things. George Washington Carver took one plant, the peanut, and did over 300 inventions. You know what? When it comes to God's wisdom and His greatness and how He masterminded this universe, we haven't even scratched the surface. We have no idea how great this thing is. Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath established the heavens. How big are the heavens? Can they be measured? We're trying to. It's a lot to know out there, isn't there? We don't know everything yet, do we? We still need to learn. Proverbs chapter... Oh, we're just going to go all the way through Proverbs today, if you didn't know. And I made it easy, so instead of going back and forth, some of these verses would have fit better together had I jumped. But we're just going to go through them. Proverbs chapter 3, now we're in verse 19 of Proverbs. We did that, now verse 27. Oh, this is a great word of wisdom here. And I will jump to Galatians 6:10 after this. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. I shared at a business conference, you know, what made me successful in my business is that, you know, I just try to be nice to people. It's a real hard thing to do, but, you know, withhold not good when it's in your power to do it. Why not? We were at the Dominican Republic at an all-inclusive resort where everything's, you know, yours. You just go up to the bar and get what you want, do the buffets, get what you want. We were all down on the beach about 100 yards from the bar. When I need to go to the restroom, I'd turn around and say, what do you need? What do you want? And I'd stop by the bar and bring it out to them. And they go, hey, there's waiters. What are you doing that for? I'm going, because I wanted to bless you, because the waiters on the beach, you know, it takes for an hour and a half to get them. They wanted orange juice, they wanted a water, they wanted a drink. A mojito, that was the big drink there, mojito. You know, whatever they wanted, you know. And they go, you never stop, do you? Stop what? And I go, just being nice. What's wrong with being nice? If it's in your power to do it, do it. Last night we were watching one of those shows on cable on John Hopkins University, and this Hispanic doctor didn't want to be known. He was the only Hispanic doctor that was in the 7-year intern to be a surgeon. He wanted to be known for being nice. So when he passed the water cooler and saw that it was almost empty, take that one off, put the new one on. When he went to the coffee machine, instead of dispensing one cup of coffee, he dispensed one for the person behind him. What's wrong with that? He was known for being nice. You know how great it is just to walk through life being nice? You're planting niceness. I don't even know if that's a word. But it's better than planting anything else. You can plant a lot of it. So be nice to people. What's going to come back to you? So life can be hard or it can be wonderful. You can be nice to people and, you know, eventually they'll come back to you because of the laws that God has set up in the universe. You know, what you give is what you receive. What you sow is what you reap. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. You know, when you walk into a door, just glance behind you. See who's behind you. Hold the door for them. I was going to the post office the other day, and she was quite a ways away, and she's loaded with boxes. So I just held the door for her, and I go, she's going to be in line in front of me now. But she didn't. She walked through the door and then waited for me to get in line next. So, came back. Let's go. This is where we're going to jump here. You can hold your fingers in Proverbs, and we're going to go to Galatians chapter 6.
Corinthians, Galatians chapter 6. And let's look at verse 10. It says, as we have therefore opportunity. When do you have opportunity? When you look for it. Let us do good unto those who dress the way we want them to dress, who look the way we want them to look, who have no tattoos. Now, where does it stop? If you're only going to be good to who you want to choose to be good to, where does it stop? To people who have never offended me. Only good to who believe the way I believe. Only the people who dress the way I dress. Only million qualifications. God says, be good to all men. You know, you're good to all men, and all of a sudden, things happen. Your customers are nicer, your job is nicer, you get promotions. Things happen. Such a simple, simple principle in life that sometimes people spend a lifetime and never get it. So, I just wanted to illustrate, because some people go, well, how do you get all the awards at work? You know what? I didn't only trip it to one thing. I'm nice. Now, I wasn't always nice. I used to be a pretty critical, sharp-tongued guy when I was in high school. And I had a quick, snotty thing to say about anybody and everything. So you can change, you know. You can change. Sometimes I catch myself doing those quick, snotty remarks. So I have to change my mind. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. So now it's to everyone, but we're going to take it a first step further. Especially unto the household of faith. Christians can be the meanest people in the world to each other. They get offended by something you say, and they hate you for life. They think, you know, what is that about? You know, Christians should be the most forgiving people, understanding people. You know, we need to love one another. That's what we've been called to do, not judge each other. We should be good to everybody, but especially unto the household. You know, man, we should just never have any bitterness in our heart toward another believer. If they've done us wrong, we just need to move on, right? Just don't hold bitterness. It's not going to help us. Okay, back to Proverbs. We left off in Proverbs 3:27. Now we're going to go to Proverbs 4:7. Chapter 4. And in verse 7, we'll read through 10. Wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Boy, that's a lot of getting, isn't it? With all your getting. In the morning, what do you want to get? God, I want to get some more wisdom today. I want to get more understanding. Get it. Go after it. Seek it. Exalt her and she shall promote thee. How are you going to get promoted? Exalt what? Wisdom. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace her, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. We should have great full days of life. Enjoy every second of life. Let's look in Proverbs 20. No, I'm sorry. We're still in chapter 4. Verse 20. And if I wanted to say this is one thing you want to really listen to, this would be it. All these are wonderful words of wisdom, but the next three or four verses here I really want you to pay attention to. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. These words we need to keep in our heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. These words bring health to all our flesh. Keep thy heart, or guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Out of our heart are the issues of life. You know, we need to think about what we think about. The thoughts that we carry are the gateway to the heart. It's what we think of ourselves, what we think of one another, what we think of our jobs, what we think of our boss, what we think of the ministers, determines what's in our heart. If we're holding bitterness, what's going to grow in our heart? If you're holding love and forgiveness, then you're going to grow the right things in your heart. Check out what's in your heart. Know what's in your heart. And if you... Hey, we've all had been tempted to have these things in our heart. In fact, I'm not going to go there, but Jesus told some Pharisees, you know, what was in their heart, and it wasn't good. Adultery, murder, envy, strife, jealousy. We're all tempted to let these things get into our heart. If these things get into our heart, if we held bitterness, envy, jealousy, recognize it and say, I would rather not have that. I'd rather have forgiveness. I'd rather have love. I'd rather have this. And start changing your thoughts. You change your life by changing your thoughts. You change your heart by changing your thoughts. Now, this is a fun one. 6:6 of Proverbs. I like it because I used to play with ants when I was a kid. 6:6, it says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." An ant stays focused on what it needs to do. You ever seen an ant trail? They're coming and going. Sometimes they're just so thick, it's just like a black line. And I, as a kid, I'd take a stick and just stir them up. Within minutes, those ants would be right back on track. Their heart was fixed on one thing, getting that food. End of the story. They weren't going to let anything distract them. Then I'd take dirt, throw on top of them. Got them now. Come back. Here they go again. They've tunneled through it. Or put a log in front of them. They got over it. No matter what I do, that ant just kept on going. God has some strange way of teaching us sometimes. "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." Nothing's going to stop that ant from doing whatever it's got to do to get the job done. We need to have the determination of an ant. We want to change our thoughts? Stay on it. If you just change it for one day and you go back to your same habits, stay on it. Be the ant. Be focused. Keep on going. When it comes to your work, get focused. Keep on going. Do whatever it's got to do to get the job done. Don't be distracted when somebody stirs you up with a stick, tries to cover you up with the dirt. I do all kinds of things as ants. They just wouldn't stop. Okay, chapter 8 of Proverbs 8:10. "Receive my instructions, not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold." See, we have to put it in perspective. What did Solomon seek? Wisdom. What did he get? Got both, wisdom and riches. But what did he ask for wisdom first? We'll read this again, verse 10. "Receive my instructions and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions." You know what? You can get knowledge on how to do a new invention. You ever doing a job and all of a sudden you sit down and think, I can do this a little better if I do it this way? God will help us. When we're diligent in our work and seeking Him, He will show us ways to do things better and faster.
The fear of the Lord is to hate evil and arrogancy and the evil way. The forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign.
I'm not a king, but you know what? I'm king of my life. You're king of your life. You're king at whatever you're doing. Decide to be king at whatever you want to be. Choose to reign. And how are you going to reign? By wisdom.
By me kings reign. Princes decree justice.
That's how you're going to walk in justice.
By wisdom. By me princes rule.
Rule whatever you do. By wisdom.
And nobles, even all judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me.
And if we could stop right there and close the book. But there's a bonus.
Verse 18. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches.
Riches without wisdom are here today and gone tomorrow. When you build it with wisdom, you've got it.
Let's look at Proverbs 10. And this is the big 10-4.
When it comes to work, this is the 10-4.
He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent, what?
You know, this is just words of wisdom. That's all this is. Some people just don't get it. If you want to be rich, be diligent. If you don't know how to be diligent, go to God. Ask Him. He'll show you some witty inventions if He needs to. He'll help you. Be the very best at what you want to be.
Let's go to verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh what?
Rich. And addeth no sorrow. When you are rich with God, you own your belongings. You own your belongings. Otherwise, the belongings own you.
Okay, let's look at another wonderful verse here. Chapter 12, verse 25.
This is another one on the heart. Remember I said you need to think about what you're thinking about? You need to know how you feel and why you feel that way. If you're feeling heavy, ask yourself why.
Because we need to know and remove it. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad.
Sometimes we just need to encourage our own selves. Just say, Dan, get up and go. Sometimes you need to turn around and see somebody who may be heavy-hearted and encourage them. All we need is an encouraging word sometimes. And some people in life are just waiting for an encouraging word. There are stories of people who were just on the edge of, you know what, because they felt such heaviness. And someone came along to them and just encouraged them. Turned their whole life around. We don't know the importance of our words until we go out there and speak them and encourage people. We need to encourage ourselves and encourage others.
Let's look at 14:4. Now this is another fun one on work. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox.
Well, if you don't want to be cleaning the crib, don't have any ox. But don't expect to have any increase either. You know, if you're going to gain in life, you're going to have some responsibilities. If you want no responsibilities and you want to sit, that's your free will. But if you want someone to pay your way, good luck. You know?
Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox.
Well, You're going to have to work. You may have to get your hands dirty there cleaning that crib. You know, work is not a necessary evil. Work is a privilege. God loves to work with us. We just need to take God to work with us each and every day. You can bless people in your job. You can have fun in your job. Work is not a necessary evil. It's a pleasure. It's a privilege.
Now 15:13.
This is a fun one.
A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance.
Well, I have to work on that sometimes. And some people, it's just natural, I guess. I don't know. It seems like they're always merry. But I have to work on having a merry heart sometimes. I can get so focused on what I need to do sometimes and so involved that I forget to have a merry heart.
A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow, the heart... By sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken.
Now, what is better, a broken spirit or a merry heart? Real easy here. So, let's get a cheerful countenance and have a merry heart instead of a broken spirit.
The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of the fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil.
I thought of the afflicted. That's all the days of someone who says, I'm a victim, 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 is that afflicted person.
They're all evil. But, let's not be that victim that's always afflicted. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast.
What would you rather have?
A continual feast.
Look around you. We should feast on how beautiful each person in this room is. We should see the love of God in every person's heart. When we look at this big old world, we should see God's wisdom. We should see how great God is. We need to continually feast on the goodness of God. We need a merry heart at all times.
All right, let's go to verse 28. The heart of the righteous studieth the answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things.
When I was in junior high and high school, I couldn't be sarcastic enough quick enough. I studied to stir sarcasm. But I decided to change.
The heart of the righteous studieth the answer.
You know, we need to think before we speak. And I like to say, I heard it in the sales seminar, God gave us two ears and one mouth for reason. So we can twice as much listening as speaking. Before we just start spouting off sarcasm, and think about what we're going to say and make sure it's going to bless that person. And that it's not going to gasoline on the fire. Some words can do that. It's just like throwing gasoline on a fire.
We need to think before we speak. The heart of the righteous studieth the answer, but the mouth of the foolish poureth out evil things.
Let's speak good things to ourselves and to each other.
Okay. We're almost halfway there. Let's go to 17. A merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones.
Oh, a merry heart is like a medicine. You know, when you smile, the body chemistry changes. And when you're happy, the chemistry changes and it helps the immune system just by smiling and being happy. I'd rather be happy. It's a good thing to be happy.
A merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Let's look at 18:21. Whoops, I passed one. 16:7. I jumped right over it. But let's go back and get it because I like it. It's worth looking at since we're right here. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, you want to fight your enemy or you want to... What's better? Going to war with him or being at peace with him? Let's be at peace with him if at all possible. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. 18:21. Going back to the tongue. How powerful is this old tongue of ours? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life. What do we want to speak? Words of death? Hurt? Or words of life? Let's speak words of life. Pleasant words. Proverbs 21. Verse 23. Again, talking about the tongue. Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. We bring troubles to ourselves sometimes just by aggravating the situation with our tongues. If we have nothing good to say about somebody, and this was something my mother used to say when I was a kid because I had five brothers. And guess how much we fought? And you know, we would just rail on each other and say bad things about each other. And she'd sit us down and, if you have nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. And then, you know what? It's true. You know, we need to think before we speak. Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Let's stay out of trouble. Let's watch what we say. Let's look at 22:3. And in 22 and verse 3, we have a prudent man perceiveth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. You know, God's given you a brain, He's given you wisdom. If you see going down that path is only going to get you in trouble, stay away from it. And I skipped another verse I just remembered. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26, it says, ponder your path. Think about what you're going to do before you do it. God's given us a brain for a reason. We need to think before we act. We need to think before we go down a road. Is this the road that I want to go down? Is this the direction I want to take? Plan your day. You know, I travel 5 states, and it's nothing worse than traveling all the way to Houston or all the way to Phoenix, get there and be unprepared. What do you look like? Fool. Can you imagine? No. I used to throw everything, I used to travel by motorhome, so you just threw everything you possibly could in the motorhome. Tools, literature, and you had multiple lines that I was repping. And then you'd get there and you'd go, well, I think they need this. And you'd walk in with a bag full. You know, then not have the right thing that they needed. So today, before I go to an account, I call them, talk to them, plan out everything I'm going to say, plan out what I'm going to share with them, have the literature pre-sent to them. So when I get there, get the packet. Good, I've got a duplicate packet here. We go over it, and I'm more successful. You know, you've got to think through. I can pray all I want to, right? But God expects me to get off my chair, go out to the garage, put the presentation packet together in the order I want to present the product, and do it, right? Think about what you're going to do, and you'll be successful. Proverbs 21, we did that. Now 22, verse 3, we just did. 24, we're going to, this is the last proverb we're going to share, then we're going to close in Philippians 4:8, okay? Chapter 24. We're going to read 3-6. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established.
How are we going to build our lives? How are we going to build our careers? What do we want to build? We're going to build wisdom.
And by knowledge, so that chambers be filled and with all precious and pleasant riches.
Wow. Again, that's just a bonus, right?
Let me clear my throat here and read this again. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. When I read this, thou shalt make war.
You know, there's always something to fight, and there's always somebody trying to get you to fight with them. In my company, we have our warranty division, tech division, and I get along with everybody there pretty well. But one of the department heads wasn't getting along with one of the instructors that comes out on the field. And he said, oh, you got to call the reps, Dan. You're the award winner. Call all those reps. Let's get this guy fired. Boy, oh boy, that's not my cause. I like him, but I didn't get pulled into that trap. Yes, there was some confusion in that department. I had written an email to my manager saying, you know, there's some problems here, and this is a direct quote from the customer. This is another direct quote from the distributor. I put no emotion. I put none of my thoughts. I just quoted directly what the customer said and directly what the distributor said, and I gave it to my boss. But I was not. He said, you've got to go to the HR department and maybe even write the owner. I go, I'm getting entangled into something I don't want to get entangled into. But since my boss had brought the subject up, I fired off an email with the direct quote, none of my emotion. He took that email, gave it to the owner, and then they went to the HR department. But I did, you see, you can do things, but just to wage war is another story. We want to do things that cause peace, if at all possible. Let's go to Philippians to close. Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 8. I call this the mind-building verse. This is how we build our minds. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, this reminds me of an Indian proverb that I heard when I was in Sedona, Arizona, a few years ago. This wise Indian chief was teaching the young braves. He says, young braves, some nights I can't sleep at all. I'm up all night long. And they said, why? He says, there's two dogs in my mind, and they fight, and they fight viciously all night long. One good dog and one evil dog. That evil dog, that bad dog, is just full of fear. Only thinks evil of everyone. Thinks everyone's out to get him. Will not forgive anyone at all. Always seeks revenge. Always wants to make war. He'll lie, cheat, and steal to get his way. He'll do whatever it costs to make sure he wins. The other dog's a very good dog, and that dog is full of peace. Tries to think the best of everyone. Only wants to forgive. And always does what's honest. And always seeks to make peace. And the young brave goes, wise chief, which dog wins? He said, the dog that I feed the most will always win. Let's feed our minds God's Word. God bless you. I love you. Amen.